So this is his son, and here's where we learn about where garbage in, garbage out turned into grace in and grace out. Let's stand together as we read a bit of the story here. This is kind of the what happened later version, what we'll read from Paul. Let's read together. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Lord, we thank you for what you did in Paul's life. Thank you that this was not something reserved for this one person 2,000 years ago who wrote half the New Testament, some very spiritual person. God, you intended this to be for everyone. So thank you for that, Lord. Would you teach us what it means to experience what we'll find Paul experienced in his life? Thank you for making it available to all. In Jesus' name, amen. Garbage in, garbage out. How is that pronounced? Is that Gigo or Gigo or can't, something different? Then it's not Gigo, because then it'll be, they said it'd be mixed up with gigabytes, right? And so it's like Gigo or something like that. What is that? It was a technical term for programmers, and basically it said you put garbage into the program, you're going to get garbage out of the program. You know, the program is meant to do a certain thing, process information. It's going to take the information, process it, and spit it out in a nice report. But if you put in bad information, guess what you're going to get in the report? Bad information. Yeah. The program can only do with what's been put into it. And if you put bad information in, you're going to get bad information out. Another way of putting that, when we're on vacation, if I eat too much junk food for too long, I'm not pleasant to be around. I get cranky, I get tired, I get irritable, I'm just not a happy camper. Garbage in, garbage out. I found this also in my Easter, what's the word? What's before Easter? Lent. My Lenten fast of the news. I didn't realize how much of this wonderful, great news that happens all around us every day I was ingesting. And when I put a kibosh on it and I stopped all news. I didn't read it. I didn't listen to it. I didn't watch it. Nothing for, I don't know, must have been 5-6 weeks. You know what I found out? I found out life is so much better. I found out garbage in, garbage out. I'm like, that really affected me. I had no idea how much of that I was ingesting and how much it negatively affected me. So that you get an idea of what garbage in, garbage out is, right? Everybody understand that? So what was Paul's garbage in, garbage out? Paul said it here at the beginning of Philippians. He said, if someone else thinks they have reason to put confidence in their flesh, I have more. He said, I was circumcised on the eighth day, according to the law of the people of Israel. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. I've got pedigree. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. Is there a little pride going on here? In regards to the law, I was a Pharisee. I nailed the law. I did everything just the way it was supposed to be. For zeal, how zealous was I? My hobby was going out and arresting and having killed Christians. That's how zealous I was. That's Paul. He says, hey, if you got a reason to put confidence in your flesh, I got more. As for righteousness, as is based on the law, faultless. I mean, that's pretty strong statement. Personal gains, confidence in himself and his flesh and his what he's able to do, position, image. He had influence and power. He got the best seats in the house at the party because he had position, right? And we see that was all his garbage in. You know what the garbage out was? We started to actually see it. We don't really know a lot about Paul's life. We do start to see some of the fruits of Paul's life. Remember the first person we saw Paul interacting with? Stephen. What happened to Stephen? The first martyr. The first martyr. Stephen was stoned because he was confessing Christ as the one and only Savior. And he was stoned to death. And guess who stood by holding everybody else's coats while they stoned him? That was Paul. He was called Saul then. That was our first picture of garbage out for Paul. Now we see in verse 20, in chapter 26, we'll start reading a little bit more. This is Paul describing what happened to him on that faithful road to Damascus. This is what happened to Paul as he was heading to Damascus. He said, where am I starting my reading here? Verse 9. He said, I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the saints in prison, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to blaspheme. In my obsession against them, I even went to foreign cities to persecute them. Garbage in, garbage out. Pride. Self-righteousness. Hate. Murder. Perfectionism. That can apply to some of us here. What? Huh? I got it. Yeah, he got it up there. Thank you. Messages from the media booth. Self-importance. Paul was a bit of a narcissist, wasn't he? It was all about him. He knew what was going to be the right thing, and he knew who was wrong, and he was going to be the one to take care of this problem of these Jesus followers. That was a bit of the reality of Paul. Now we read, starting in verse 12 of chapter 26, it says, on one of these journeys I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, O king, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven brighter than the sun blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, as he was known at the time. He was known as Saul. Why do you persecute me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads. And then I asked, who are you? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, the Lord said. Grace met Paul right where he was, on his way to arrest and murder Christians. Jesus followers. That's where Jesus met him. And grace came in. But grace came again. Because he had already been after Paul. He had already been after him. Jesus says to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads." Anybody know what a goad is? Now you know. I used to picture Paul kicking a wall. But I didn't know what a goad was, and I just pictured him stubbing his toe against something. That's what I used to think. That was a long time ago. A goad is something that shepherds use to move their sheep or their goats, to guide them along. Where are shepherds taking their sheep or their goats? Where do they take them? Pasture for food, water. They got to bring them to streams so they can drink, right? They might be moving them away from safety. The goads are a good thing. They kind of poke and prod at the sheep and the goats because the shepherd knows where they need to go, right? Grace was prodding Paul. Grace was goading him again because God had been after Paul a long time ago already. Grace was prodding Paul during the very public life of Jesus, because Paul was well known. He was around. He knew the things that were going on. He had heard about the public life of Jesus. He had heard about his miracles. He had heard about his preaching. He had heard about his life. He heard about the resurrection of Jesus. Paul, check it out. He rose from the dead. Paul had heard about the appearance of the risen Jesus to the disciples. Scripture says there were 400 more that saw the risen Jesus before he ascended to heaven. Hey, Paul, have you heard all those people talking about having seen the risen Jesus? A little bit of goading, a little prodding going on there. Did you hear what happened during Pentecost, the Jewish feast of Pentecost? Right there in Jerusalem? Paul, are you paying attention, Paul? The disciples got arrested, escaped from prison, didn't care how the Pharisees beat them. They were going to talk about the risen Christ. Paul, do you see the miracles, their willingness to die, the disciples? Paul, do you see? God was prodding him and goading him, saying, I'm trying to lead you to the living water. I'm trying to lead you to where the bread of life is, and that's Jesus. This was the final prod. Jesus finally appears to him, prods him one last time with his very presence, and Jesus puts a call on Paul's life. He says, now get up, stand to your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your people and from the Gentiles. I'm sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Jesus put a call on Paul's life, didn't he? What we read on our congregational reading is the hindsight 2020 vision of Paul after he's been arrested and he's in jail and heading to Rome again later in his life. He begins to look at life differently, and we begin to see from Paul his perspective on garbage in, garbage out, grace in, grace out. Paul says in this verse, you know what? Whatever was gain, I counted as loss. For the sake of Christ, I consider it a loss. All that I had accomplished, all the power, all the popularity, all the position, I'm looking back now and finding out how much pride and hate and murder and this perfectionism, thinking I'm going to make myself so holy before God, the self-importance that I lived under. He says, I see that and how I was living. And all that was gained to me then, I counted all as loss, all that I worked for. Because why? It kept me from knowing what was real, from knowing what was true, from knowing what was eternal. The things in this life can, boy, they can get us pretty blinded, can't they? We can be like this, focused on what I want, and we don't see what God's trying to do. Paul thought he knew what was going to make his life valuable. We find ourselves that way too. And he found out when he met Jesus, my way is garbage in. And I see what came out, garbage out. Then Paul met grace. And as he looks back, he says, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing greatness, the surpassing worth of knowing him, of knowing Christ Jesus, for whose sake I've lost all things. For him, it's all rubbish. He says, I consider them garbage, that I might gain Christ and be found in him. Perspective, that's that 2020 perspective. Grace in, undeserved love and forgiveness, right? That's what he was given. Surpassed this incredible value of being able to walk with God in relationship, not just trying to obey law and hold up this look at me, I'm holy. That's religion. God was saying, I'm calling you to a relationship. Isn't it interesting? When God confronted Paul, you didn't hear him say, repent, Paul. You did wrong, Paul. You didn't hear him. All the things that Paul had done, did God bring any of it up? It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, Paul was a horrible person. He did horrible things. What did God say? Get up. I've got a job for you to do. I've appeared to you to appoint you to go and be my witness. Paul had everything, but what he really wanted and needed was that grace that God says, I'm not going to give you what you deserve. I'm going to give you what I want to give you. It's an invitation. Isn't that something? What transformed Paul? Was it the law? Was it rules that he had to obey? How did that work for him? He knew the law. He had a hardened, prideful heart. What changed him? Grace, forgiveness, love, undeserved love, mercy, not getting what he deserved. His life redeemed. What God gave him was an invitation. God gave Paul an invitation. Paul was on his way to kill Christians, and God says, come, you be my servant. That's pretty amazing. Sometimes we think of God, shouldn't he have been, bam, just come down like a ton of bricks on Paul and brought him to his knees in wretched repentance? It's funny how God calls us to relationship far more than he does want to slap us down. He calls us to relationship with him. And that is what transformed Paul. Relationship. The invitation to come walk with me. Did Paul have a choice then? He certainly did. All he did was receive the invitation and say, yes, Lord. Realize how wretched he was and recognize how kind and forgiving God was being to him. That transformed his life. So with that, I want you to think about your life. Have you come to that place where the surpassing worth of knowing him, knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord, has superseded everything else in your life? That invitation that God has given you, that you're just, God, thank you for being so kind to me that you would look at my life and still say, come, walk with me. That you would invite me to be your son. How could you be so good to me? That transformation that happens when we realize how good and forgiving God is. Is there something you're hanging on to rather than saying, I count it all loss. I count it as garbage that I might know him and his surpassing worth, his surpassing goodness. See, if this was not just for Paul, this was for each and every one of us. He gives the invitation to you and says, come and walk with me. I have something for you to do. And we find that we have the choice of saying, am I going to continue living garbage in, garbage out? Maybe you're not going and persecuting and killing and arresting people. But is there something that is taking precedence over the surpassing greatness, surpassing worth of knowing God and being found in him? That verse that talks about, where is it? That I might gain the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, that I might gain Christ and be found in him. That word is kind of a marketplace word. It was almost a trade up from one thing to the other type of a word, that I might gain Christ. It's a trade up. Let me tell you, when you give your life to Christ, it's a trade up. You are coming away in far better shape than you were before. But we, how often do we hang on to our marbles and hang on to our little jobs and our little cars and our little relationships and our little things that seem so vital and important? I can't let go. And God is saying, you're not trading up. You're hanging on to the little things and you're taking the garbage and making it your prize. And Paul is saying, consider it as garbage compared to the surpassing wonder, the greatness to know that I can walk through life with a God alongside me who's guiding me, who is for me, who wants to bring blessing into my life if I would just take the invitation to follow him and cast off the other stuff. As in comparison, it's like rubbish. It's like garbage. Does that mean we have to throw off everything that we like in life? Right? No? No. Does God allow us to, and he's put blessings into our lives because he's for you. He wants to bring blessing to your life. He loves to bring good things. Scripture tells us that. Seek, knock. The door will open. The doors will be open. He says, you know, that's the Jesus parable. What father would give their son a stone if they asked for a bread? What father would give their child a scorpion if they asked for a fish? Not God. He says, God loves to give good gifts to those who ask. He loves to give good gifts. So ask. Look at the invitation that he extends to you. Take the invitation to walk in relationship with him. Trust him. Cast off the stuff that you've been hanging on to. If you find that your life is without power, without that intimacy with God, then now's the time to stop and say, Lord, is there something I'm hanging on to? And I'm not trading up. I'm hanging on to the little things. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. We're going to close with a wonderful song. It's an older one, but the words are just full of this scripture, the words of this song. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all. You're the best. You're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. If this is where you are, praise God. If it's not where you are, ask God to open your eyes to say, Lord, is there something that I am hanging on to rather than reaching out for you? Let's bow our heads a moment in prayer. Father God, Holy Spirit, you want so much for us. And you're so faithful, so trustworthy. Your favor towards us knows no bounds. It's far beyond our ability to understand life. I pray, Father, that you would just search our hearts. You give us a moment, Lord, to just hear from you. And Lord, if there is something that we are hanging on to that is robbing us from what is of surpassing greatness, surpassing worth, to know you personally, intimately, God, if we're hanging on to something, would you, could you please, Holy Spirit, put your finger on it in our lives. Point it out to us that we might experience the invitation that you've offered to us to know the greatest thing that there could possibly be, and that is to walk closely, walk intimately through life with my God who loves me, with my Lord and Savior who died for me. Holy Spirit, would you in this moment just help us to recognize what we might have lost, what we may have avoided in trading in and found all the greatness of knowing you, Lord.